There was a desire for the afternoon's reading and meditation to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. Želim da se pročita Evanđelje po Marku, četvrta glava. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. So they entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him and the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I desire to stop reading with verse number 20. There's reference made to this parable this morning in the sermon. And on this past Wednesday, we had before us the parable that Jesus spoke of the wheat and the tare. And so I'd like to just this afternoon, as we read this parable, just to lay upon our hearts with God's help who we are and the power of the word. And but even far beyond that is Brother Bob this morning, he prayed in this prayer, and he said the most important thing really of when we hear the word, he said, now it's time to apply this word to our hearts. It's the application, and the application can only be done in a heart that is ready to receive, a heart that is ready to submit, to give itself completely over to the Lord, is one that can apply the message to oneself and have that word then, all-powerful, create that change which God is seeking from each one of us. And Jesus talks about the parable or it is known as the parable of the sower. And it says there's a large group, multitude that was gathered, that came together to hear him. And it tells us, and he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine. This is his teaching. This is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it really should, I believe, as the brother just mentioned in the prayer, arrest our attention. Like, get us to listen. This is Jesus' teachings, his doctrine that he is going to bring forth to us. And he talks about a sower. A sower that went out to sow. And there's not really a whole lot of focus here on the sower. There's not a whole lot of focus on the seed. The focus is on the ground. The ground that the seed falls onto, we know that, as Jesus explains it, the sower soweth the word. This is he who speaks of Jesus Christ and his gospel is a sower. And if we look at it just in our everyday life, we know that you don't have to have a talent to sow. You drop a seed in the ground. A sower here is not the focus. The sower simply sows the word. These are they by the wayside, he says, where the word is sown, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, his teachings. When they are sown, they're sown into, as it says here, the word is sown, but they who have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And so the heart of man is the soil that receives the word. So every one of us have an obligation to see to it that our hearts are prepared to receive the word. You know, there's preparation that needs to be made when we come into the house of the Lord to worship him. We need to prepare ourselves. We pray for the word. We pray for the Lord's presence. We pray that his presence would be felt within our hearts, that our hearts would be open to receive. Because the seed itself, if it doesn't fall on a soil, it brings forth nothing. We know there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed has the power within it. The DNA, if we could say, of a seed, it's there. It needs to find the proper soil for it to bear fruit, to grow in and to bear fruit. There's no problem with the seed. Now, we know that in the parable that we heard on Wednesday of Satan, who sows the enemy of the owner of the field, who sowed the tares, he's taking, we could compare it to like GMO seed. He modifies it. In other words, its realness is gone. He modifies it into something that imitates that which is supposed to be produced, and it's strictly an imitation. And that is what we can really even call the gospel of Satan. It's going to be similar. Satan will never tell us to completely disregard that Jesus isn't real, or once we have come and we've accepted the truth that Jesus came to save us, he's not going to try to dissuade us of that. He's going to give us another version. He wants to plant tares in his field. Not his field, in the world, which is not his at all. He doesn't belong there. He's an enemy. And so Jesus describes this soil. He gives us these different versions of soil as one. And the Satan, who is it? Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And he described that initially as the word when it is sowed, as it come to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. These are the demons. These are Satan's workers. This is Satan. This is demonism that comes immediately to snatch away the field. And we can picture a field after it is freshly sowed. You're going to find birds everywhere there, right? They're feasting on it. Well, Satan wants to take that immediately away. And so as we're here today, we're listening to the Word of God. Satan wants to take that away from us immediately so that as soon as services are over, we no longer think about what was said. We might even say, that was a good sermon, or that was a good teaching. And we may never think about that again the entire week. That Satan had his work. He did his work. He took it away from us. He took it away. What did he take away? That which gives life. Life itself. Truth itself. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, so this is the word that is sown. If you continue in that word, he says, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, because his word is truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free of what? Free of those things which will cause the word to be devoured, to be overcome, as he talks about other soil. He says, so really, if you continue in my word, this is what is critical for us, dear brothers and dear sisters, to continue in his word. Jesus also says, he says, when he's talking in his intercessory prayer for his disciples, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. So how are you and I going to be set aside for the master's use, for the Lord's use? He says, sanctify them, set them aside. He says, sanctify them through what? Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word that is being sowed. You and I cannot be sanctified and set aside for the Lord's use unless we remain in the word that is sown. He wants to take that away from us. And let's be honest, he succeeds way too often. Way too often. The application of the word, as we pray, apply it to our hearts. That, whose job is that? Who does that? Me. You. We are responsible here. We have a responsibility to apply the truth to our life. And so Jesus is simply telling a story here vividly, or in a manner in which everyone will understand. Everyone understands what a sower does and how he drops the seed and what he now expects. He expects something, a growth to take place. And so he says there, after Satan comes immediately, it says immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. He says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. So he's given another example of another ground. Let's ask ourselves, is my heart a description of a heart that is so hardened? You know, the Apostle Paul says, harden, or he's quoting from the Old Testament, harden not your hearts in the Hebrews as in the day of provocation. Harden not your hearts. We read about this morning about the hardening of the heart of the Pharaoh and even the children of Israel who hardened their hearts against God, who was going to show them his works, his might, and his power. They hardened their hearts against that. And they couldn't receive, though they were able to see the parting of the sea. They were able to see with their physical eyes the things that God was doing in their midst. Their heart was hardened. They couldn't receive it. It was being snatched away from them. And so, dear ones, that soil is a soil that is hard. It's not allowing. We don't even think about what we hear, what we read. We don't even pick up the Word of God during the week. It means not enough to us. We're just so busy. We have busy lives. God understands, right? That's what we say. And here, Jesus describes it as Satan coming And he's taken away the word that can transform you. And so he says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness. There is a profession of faith. There is a proclamation. I believe. I will receive the word. Jesus describes that as stony ground where it has not much earth. Immediately it springs up. Immediately. There's a response to the word. We may be moved emotionally. We may have an emotional response. Oh, I'm going to go to hell. I got to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to burn in hell forever. I got to stop. Oh, I'm going to, and I believe. And he receives it with gladness. And immediately, it says here, they have no root in themselves. It says, immediately it springs up, and because it had no depth of earth, the sun comes up, and it's scorched. It's scorched. Because it had no root, it withers away. It's not sown in a soil that it can prosper in. Because the heart, we know that the heart, the Bible tells us, is desperately wicked. Who can even know it? You don't even know your own heart. And I don't know my own heart. And we know that's true. We know that's true. I know we know that's true. We've felt within our hearts responses to certain situations that alarm us. How could we have done that? And so unless that heart is born again and transformed, it has no root or no depth to receive the word. And so it says there's no root in themselves, and so they endure for a time, but afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. I thought God was good. I thought God was going to give me wealth. I thought God was going to save me from sickness. I didn't know I was going to get cancer at 30. I didn't know that this was going to happen. I thought God was good. And you know, we have a tendency to say when something good happens to us, God is good. Well, God is always good. Because God says that he causes the rain to fall on the good and the evil. He causes the sun to come up on the good and the bad. And so we will take those situations in our lives when it's not going the way I want it to go. Oh, well, who is this God? And we question him. We didn't receive him. We never knew him. We liked what promise it what the, of the word that it gave to us, a comfort. And so we're coming. We're attaching ourselves to him, but we're not ready to receive him. And so it says quickly, persecution arises. We know that Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Thessalonians, he says the persecution is from the devil himself. He says that he talks about Satan, lest he's come and take you away. He's writing them these letters to encourage them and so on, because the persecution that was arising, he wants to strengthen them in that time so that they would never think that God is no good, that they are being persecuted, or that something didn't happen in their life the way they wanted it to or expected it to. God is good. Let's remember that. When I have cancer, God is good. When he heals me, God is good. When I die, God is good. And God can make me good through this seed if I open up my heart for him. And so we see here that he says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Jesus says, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, they choked it, and it yielded no fruit. So again, we're seeing the third type of soil here, the third one. And we can imagine the first and the second already. We've all experienced things in life that will, as even says here, that which is sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And so, the cares of this world, all of us have them. Every one of us have a care of this world. But the care of this world cannot overcome or overwhelm the seed. Because the difference between the the showers and the sun and everything that falls upon the good and the bad. The difference is I have a Redeemer that I can turn to. And I can turn to Him and He will comfort me in my sickness and in my dying and in my walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I have someone that I can call upon. That's the difference. But if I allow the cares of this world to overcome me, if I allow the thoughts of what I need to do, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to prosper and different things like that, it's going to choke the Word. My thoughts are not on the Word. They're on my life. That's what I want out of life. And he says, and there's the deceitfulness of riches. We all know that there's the deceitfulness of riches and there's deceitfulness of poverty. There's no difference. If one is in extreme poverty or extreme wealth, they can both fall in the exact same manner. In wealth, there is deceitfulness because there's a certain comfort that takes place when you have wealth. There's a certain smugness, a certain feeling of no fear. You have it. It's deceived. You're deceived. You're deceived. You cannot bear forth any fruit. Not 30-fold. None. None. It says, it chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. Deceitfulness of riches, you will become unfruitful. Where is our heart? Where is my heart? Where is your heart? Brothers, sisters, friends, where is our heart? What is my heart made out of? Is it receiving this precious word, the word that has the life, unadulterated, pure, straight from the Lord Jesus Christ, His gospel, the power to save, the power to transform, giving me life? It says here, the riches of this world would deceive me, and the lusts of other things that are entering in. There's all kinds of lusts that we could lust after. Those things enter my heart, they choke the word. Period. They shut the word down and its power, and it cannot grow in a heart that is deceived. It cannot grow in a heart that is overcome by cares. In other words, reliance is not being upon my Lord. I'm relying upon myself, and it becomes unfruitful. You know, Jesus also, when he's speaking to his disciples, he talks about the vine and the branches. He says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So, seed is grown, it is received, they hear the word, and something chokes it out. You're not abiding in the vine. Jesus says that he says, a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. So it's not the fruit, it's the tree. He says, a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, again, the heart that is sown, that is prepared to receive the word, bringeth forth fruit that which is good. Why? Because the tree is good. The fruit doesn't make the tree good. The tree makes the fruit good. Or the bad tree makes the fruit bad. And he says, so an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. And now he brings forth another soil. And he said, these are they which are sown on good ground. such as hear the word, and they receive it, and they bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You know, in that same parable of the vine, Jesus says that when a branch is bringing forth fruit, he goes to it and he trims it. If you're bringing forth 30-fold, the Lord will see to it that you will bring 100. He'll come and he'll trim that. You remain in his word, he'll take care of it. Remain in his word. Allow his word to take place in your heart. You won't be satisfied with 30-fold, 60-fold, only 100-fold. And the Lord will see to it that you will bring that forth. That's what Jesus says about the vine. He will come and trim those branches so that you bring forth more fruit. More. A good tree does that. It keeps bringing forth more fruit. For whose glory and honor? Jesus our Lord. For Jesus our Lord. It tells us in Ephesians 2, it says, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is in the past, he says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our, listen to what he says, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We are making that choice to fulfill those things. We make those choices to fulfill those desires. And the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath. Why? Because the fruit of the tree was bad because the tree was bad. But he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. And this is, dear ones, what the seed does. Is your heart ready to receive it? Or are you going to say, well, that's just how I am? We make the choice. Apply the word or fulfill the lust. We make the choice. He says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so he says, what takes away the seed? The God of this world. And we allow him, because the seed isn't precious to us. And we'll take it modified. We'll take a modified version of it. Because it's a little bit easier. Because when Jesus says that you must die, when Jesus says you must come to the cross, it's just not a welcoming thought unless we love the Lord. When we love him, we are willing to go and to die. And though it hurts when he chastens us and he trims those branches that are yielding fruit, but not the fruit that he is desiring, and he chastens us, and he trims the branches, and now we bring forth more fruit to his glory, and we worship him, and we rejoice. We rejoice in his chastening because it brings forth the fruit that he is desiring to see. And so, dear ones, we are being asked today, what is our heart bearing? What is our heart bearing? The Lord wants to see fruit. Are the cares of the world, the lusts of the flesh, the deceitfulness of riches, all those things, the hardening of a heart against a God that isn't the one that I thought he would be like to me, are all those things impeding and taking away his word? He says, Jesus says, that the other three soils are unfruitful. There is death and hell that awaits those. Unfruitful. And he said, the one with good ground, it brings forth fruit. And we know the fruit of the Spirit, what it is. We read it in Ephesians, of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, and so on. He says, against all of this, there is no law to fulfill those things. You will never be left. You'll never be left fruitless if you yield your heart to the Lord. And may God be with us as we make that decision today. Will we apply His word to our hearts today, or will we dismiss it and become unfruitful? And in that unfruitfulness, there is condemnation. May God bless His word upon our hearts in this day. Amen.
The lot of the good ground is remarkably simple: to receive and hear and receive the word and bring forth fruit. It was the Apostle Paul's desire, as he was establishing churches and writing to them, to establish them in the word of God, and his thoughts and prayers for the church in Colossae were along the same lines as what we've read this afternoon. He wrote to them, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." A few verses down. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." May God bless his holy word to us this afternoon. Amen.